together. I just want to take a moment to thank Rabbi Shenker for coming, for guys who went to MTA, they know Rabbi Shenker. The guys who don't know, did not go to MTA, this is probably your first exposure to Rabbi Shenker. He is an outstanding mechanech with tremendous vision, and an old good friend of mine. And it's always a joy to see him. I also want to thank him especially for being Moser Nefesh to come here tonight. I was driving around in the fog tonight. I went to Woodridge. I wasn't sure that I was going to make it back to camp. It was an absolute bachad. So I really, really especially thank him for coming, despite the driving conditions outside tonight. And certainly look forward to his Divrei Torah this evening.
Thank you, Rabbi Leibowitz. It is really a pleasure to see you guys. It's always amazing to watch guys that had intense years. It wasn't like you guys were sitting around all year, schmoozing and hanging out, but rather to come and spend your summers learning, especially in a special place like this, with such an incredible Rebbe. It's amazing, to Rabbi Leibowitz and I go way, way back many years, and but it's a pleasure to call him also Rebbe now as well, because I, like most of the world, enjoy his thousands of shiurim that I'm constantly listening to, and it's really amazing. Back to the point, Rebbe, it's before I give a shiur now at MTA, I have to check if you gave a shiur on it, because the last three shiurim I gave in MTA, those random topical shiurim, guys afterwards came over to me and said, well, Rebbe gave a shiur on that same topic, and he said this and this and this and this, and so I have to. Always have to make sure now to before I say anything to see if you gave a shiur on it, which you probably did. So it's hard to find that thing that or not. Okay. So as we find ourselves in the 9 days, inching towards Tisha B'Av, the Tishem, we should not have one this year, and it should be Yontif. We'll celebrate together. Wanted to talk about an inyan that is not often talked about and often sometimes relegated to very specific groups of Jews. And that of awaiting and carefully calculating our awaiting the coming of the Mashiach. Just this past Thursday night was the yard site of the Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe, or Moshe Teitelbaum, the Chassid of the Kaddish of Racha, was the first Satmar Rebbe. He was an incredible, incredible tzaddik, somebody who personified all that we want to look for in tzaddikim. And I saw quoted in his name, and he said the following: if somebody would tell me in my youth that by the time I was an old man, Mashiach had still not yet come, the pain that would cause me would not have allowed me to get to become an old man. Meaning it so pained him day by day that Mashiach had not yet come, it was almost unfathomable to him. Meaning as a young man, of course he assumed that the Melech HaMashiach would have already come. And he lived his words. They say, famous Maisa with Yismach Moshe, that when he was already an older man, his daughter was engaged, and the Chassin was coming to visit the family. He was on his way, again, those days, especially Chassidim, they would get engaged, and they would spend months and months apart. The Chassin was coming, and he was coming in his carriage down the road. And Samar originally was from Samar and Siget, where our grandfathers were from, in that area. And all of a sudden, they screamed out, "He's coming! He's coming!" And he heard out, and the Satmar Rebbe is sitting there, he's writing his Sfarim, and he said, "He's coming! He's coming!" And he just assumed, automatically, it was Mashiach. He gets up, puts on his Shabbos Beksha, puts on his Shabbos Shtreimel, and he walks out, waiting to greet the Melech HaMashiach. Just assumed. He's coming, meant the Melech HaMashiach. And he walked out and he realized it was his future son-in-law. And while, obviously you can imagine like that awkward greeting when he saw his future son-in-law, but yet nevertheless for him, it was real. It was definitely realistic. This balance of recognizing the intense sadness that we have on Tisha B'Av, the gullus that we're in, as well as this flip side of looking towards and awaiting the Melech HaMashiach, is the tension that we have every year on Tisha B'Av. It's highlighted in the Yerushalmi and Brachos, as well as the Medrash Eicha, that says that the Melech HaMashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. That's not a description of just what was. Us understanding that the Melech HaMashiach was born on Tisha B'Av is a function of us looking towards the future, having hope, looking, yearning, having longing, having looking towards the Geula. Tisha B'Av, while of course it's incredibly sad, but we have to use it as a day of growth, looking towards our own personal growth. So let's understand a little bit the nature of this concept of waiting for the Mashiach. What is it? How much we have to do? Does it take over us? Do we have to get to the point of where we're like the Yismach Moshe that when he's coming, he's coming? It doesn't mean that, you know, Rabbi Lewis is walking into Shir. But rather it's no, like the Melech Mashiach is walking down the road here in Camp Kaylee. And it could be a place like Kaylee, which is Torah and Chesed. It could be a place like this. Taka, he would perhaps come. But we have to think about what does that mean? So we know, right, you can think about the song, right? The Ani Mamins that we say every single day, right? The Afal Pi Yishma Meya, right? We wait for the Melech Mashiach, but yet Achake Lo, right? We wait for him. We anticipate his arrival. Right? That's rooted in Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara famously says, Amar Rava, Bishash Machnisen Adam Ladin, when a person is called up to the Beis Din Shamala, Omrim Lo, they say to him, Nasata v'nasata v'amuna, did you do business honestly? Kavata itin l'Torah, did you have set times for learning Torah? Asakta v'puri v'rivya, where you engage in populating the world with children? See, Pisa l'Yeshua. And did you look, did you await the redemption? Did you look forward? Did you look towards the Melech HaMashiach coming? Parenthetically, within that understanding, Asakta Pirva Rivia is one of the ones that perhaps that stands out of all of them. Again, we all have, God willing, set time to learn every single day, even no matter what we do for a living, and we'll all be honest businessmen. But engage in populating the world is a very simple thing. Either you did or you did not. Were you Yotzei Yer Mitzvah or you're not Yotzei Yer Mitzvah? Rav Palm famously has said that when we understand the concept of having children, it's not a function of just having a child, but why are we having a child? Are we having children in order to populate the world, in order to bring most Kavod Shemayim? It fits in with the rest of them. But more than that, Rav Palm said, all of us, wherever stage we are in life, we can always think about others who either do not have children and davening for them, or others who are looking to get married and making shidduchim, we could all be involved in that. That of itself is a function of asakta pirvi rivia. But yet, nevertheless, the Gemara says, it ends with Tzipisa Yeshua, right? Do we await, anticipate the coming of Mashiach? The Rambam Hilchos Melachim, in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph, tells us that it's not just an agadah, it's not just a beautiful concept, but rather it's a function of halacha. Meaning the Rambam says that someone who is not a mamin, that does not believe, right? Whoever does not believe in the Mashiach will come, and a person who's not eagerly awaiting his arrival, he is a kofar, which is very harsh. It's a kofar, can you imagine? We're not used to thinking in such harsh terms. We don't refer to ourselves as kofar. But yet, what does that mean? Does that mean if we're not Yisach Moshe? If we're not, what do we have to do in order to come out of that? They say that Rav Shmuel Salant, the great Gaon that he used to, every single day, every day, when he was davening Shemona Esrei, and you get up to the bracha of Tzemach David, the bracha of mentioning Mashiach, he would get up, and before he said the bracha of Baruch Hashem, before he said that bracha of Tzemach, he would stop, he would look to the left, he would look to the right, and then he would continue on with his bracha. As you can imagine, the Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, what are you doing? Why are you stopping and turning to the left, turning to the right in the middle of Shemona Esrei? He said, it's very simple. He says, I believe that my tefillah will bring the Mashiach. As Semach David, my tefillah, I'm so concentrating. I believe that I can bring the Baruch HaMashiach. And if he's coming here right now, I shouldn't make a bracha Shein Tzricha. I shouldn't have a bracha. That's for no reason. And therefore, I look to the left, I look to the right before I make the bracha. So when we begin to think about such a level of somebody who can be able to be masig to that, the question is, what do we have to do? And how can we begin to think about why is this such an important concept? Meaning, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu feels that's necessary to bring the Melech HaMashiach, so he'll bring it. Right? If it's a time, right, as the Gemara says, if it's a time that Kadosh Baruch Hu deems us worthy, so we'll do it. What is my wanting Mashiach to come accomplish. Because I want it, therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it, so you can have the Gedolim, you can have the Satmar Rav, you can have Rishmol Salant, you can have great Tzaddikim davening. What is it? Me? Who am I? I'm nothing. Why is it so important for me? And if I don't do that, I'm a kofar? Like, what does it accomplish if me, personally, right, me, Shem and Shenker, is constantly being mitzapel Yeshua? What am I accomplishing? The second Lubavitch Rebbe was known as the Mitla Rebbe of Lubavitch. He's a son of Rav Shneur Zalman Eliyadi of the Balatanya. So he writes that we know that Chazal are split in terms of what's going to be Bimos HaMashiach, right? I think most people would assume, and if you ask most people what's going to happen in Bimos HaMashiach, everyone loves to talk about the Nisim, the Niflos, all the Psukim that in Navi is changed to these incredible Nisim that are going to happen. And the Gemara goes on and on to describe incredible Nisim that are going to happen. At the same time, the Gemara also discusses that says that there are other Shitas. The Gemara also gives an opinion that says that it's not necessarily going to be incredibly miraculous, rather, that there's no difference between times of Mashiach and not times of Mashiach. Ella, Shiva Machos Bilvad. Rather, when we're not going to have other nations over us, right? So it'll be a change of leadership. We'll have a Melech, a Mashiach. He'll be there. But what does that accomplish? Let's say it's the simple, right? And the Rambam paskins that it's going to be only a change of leadership. Why is it so more important for us to have a Shivud Malchus change? Why is it for us to not to be subject to the other nations of the world? Says about Rebbe, he says, if we think about it, that all the pain and the suffering, all the challenges of this world, all right, imagine, right, as someone once said to me, right, you turn on the radio, right, this is what happens a little bit, you know, in Baruch Hashem, we're zochah to be in Eretz Yisrael, right, where everything in the world, right, is focused on growth in Yiddishkeit. Meaning there's so many things in this world which hold us back from our own personal growth. Right? All the wars, all the suffering, all the anti-Semitism, everything in this world is all a function of us being in Gullus. Right? We're not used to thinking of ourselves always in Gullus. Right? We're all sitting here, right? We're sitting in camp, this idyllic setting. You're sitting and learning Torah all day. Right? You don't really feel the Gullus here. Right, this is amazing, right? You appreciate what you're doing here, right? It's an incredible, incredible thing, right? Ask your grandparents, right, if they could imagine boys sitting and learning over the summer uninterrupted. Like, it's an incredible, incredible concept, right? What you guys are able to accomplish right here, right now is amazing. But yet, so much in the world is trying to prevent you from accomplishing all of your goals. Right? You have to just look to Eretz Yisrael and see, unfortunately, what's going on there. Right? There's so much, even in Eretz Yisrael, within a world, within a society that is run by Jews, but yet still, there's so much there that's preventing from Jews from reaching their potential. So many of the keynotes that we say on Tisha B'Av focus on the loss of potential. Right? When we think about the Asur HaRugi Machlos, when we think about the burning of the Gemara, we think about other keynotes that describe the Kohanim and what they are accomplished, what they symbolize for us. As you'll see, you'll go through the keynotes this year and sit and carefully go through. There are so many keynotes which focus on a loss of growth, a loss of potential. Right? When we think about our own growth, right, what are the things that hold us back? Right? So much of being Gullus is a lack of growth in potential. Right? Every year in the Shenker House on the second night of every Yontif, whether it's second Seder, right, whether it's the second night of Sukkot, right, every second night of Yontif, right, we sit around at our table and we talk about that it's a reminder of us being in Gullus. Right? It's important to think about ourselves being in Gullus. Right? It's not we're not used to thinking of ourselves that this is a bidyeved, that we are in Gullus here, where we're not supposed to be here right now. So the Mittler Rebbe says that the reason why we need Mashiach so badly is that every person needs to be mitzvah for it, because we need to recognize that we are not growing the way we could possibly be growing. And therefore, we need to push harder. Right? It's a mechuyev for us, right? And therefore, we are obligated to push ourselves harder to as if we had a Melech Mashiach. Right? To continue to push ourselves harder. Second approach is why it's so important for us is that the Ramchal writes in a Sefer Maimar HaYikarim that before Klal Yisrael reaches the end of the Melech HaMashiach, before we transition to what's called Olam Haba, before we reach to the next stage, that Klal Yisrael has to evolve. Klal Yisrael has to become incredibly inspired. They have to become incredibly overwhelmed with ruchnius and spiritually change, that we completely focus on our ruchnius and not focus on our gashmius whatsoever. So even if every single person in this room has reached such a level that they're like Mashiach Dika Jews, but it's a daven for all of everyone else in the world. It's a daven for all of Klal Yisrael. And the third approach is recognizing as a world as a whole. Right? Meaning it's important to think, when we think of Melech HaMashiach, we think in very, very broad terms. Very broad terms. We say every single morning in davening, Vayomer Bagoyim Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimach, Yom Void, Hashem Malach, Olam Void, Ovdu, Goyim Me'artzo. We say every single morning in Yichavah, right? Ovdu, Goyim Me'artzo. After we first say Hashem will rule forever, so we say all the nations of the world will be Ovdu. What's Ovdu? Right? They'll be lost, they'll be destroyed, they'll be wiped out. Is that what we want? Is that a tefillah that a thinking Jew says? Just stop for a moment. We say it every single morning. Ovdu Goyim Me'artzo. It's a line that comes out of our mouths. What does that mean? We want to destroy every single nation of the world? How is that being mamach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? For all the nations of the world to be wiped out. Rav Schwab points out in a Sefer on Tefillah that we don't want the people to be wiped out. We want to break down the nationalities, that everyone will join together to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of humanity. Right? Judaism is a religion for all of humankind. Everyone will come together to pronounce HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech HaOlam. Right? To eradicate that which separates us, and to recognize that we're all Avdei Hashem. The Israel Tower points out in the Sefer, if we begin to think about all of these concepts, our personal growth, the growth of all of Klal Yisrael, the growth of the world, so then we begin to think about, why is this such an important concept? Why is this so necessary? If a person doesn't believe in, is not anticipating and welcoming the Mashiach, we're not thinking about it in these terms, says Rav Tauber, therefore that person is a stunted growth Jew. The person is not growing. He's not thinking about the bigger concepts, right? He's a person is little focused, right, in his own little bubble. Again, we all have to spend time, right? We all went, you know, to Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, we all spend time working on ourselves, and that's incredibly important. But it comes a point in our development as Yidden that we begin to think about in broader terms. Has everyone seen the video of the Chavetz Chaim from 1927? Everyone seen that famous YouTube video? The picture. Gewalt. Okay. Right. So that was a famous Knesset HaGdola in Vienna, right, in 1923. So the Chavetz Chaim, right, a lot of stories came out of that. Chavetz Chaim was there, brought everyone together again to discuss, you know, what was going to be with world Jewry. So one of the stories that came out of that moment was when the Chavetz Chaim invited in the Imre Emes, right? The Imre Emes. The Imre Emes, right, was the Ger Rebbe, right? It's recorded in the Leiv Simcha, like his son, Simcha Bonham Alter, writes in the name of his father. Chavetz Chaim calls in the Imre Emes into a meeting. Right? You can imagine such a meeting, it wouldn't be a fly on the wall, such a meeting. So they're discussing what's going to be with world Jewry, Mashiach, and all different concepts. Chavetz Chaim turns to the Imre Emes and he gives him Mussar. And he says to him, he says, "Do you believe in Mashiach?" He says, "Of course I believe in Mashiach." He says, "Do you say, we say in Kedusha that we're waiting, that Bechakala, that we're waiting for him?" He says, "Of course I say in Kedusha that we're waiting for Mashiach." He says, "If you believe we're waiting for Mashiach, that you would wait every single moment." He gives them the following mashal. Imagine, Chassan gives them Imriyas the following mashal. And then he says, "We have to wait for his arrival like a father and mother who are yearning for the arrival of their only child, who they haven't seen in a long time. They know that at any minute he might arrive. So every carriage and every train that passes by, they think it might be his. However, even when they realize that their son is not on the carriage or on the train, they still wait for him." I can imagine. They still wait for him. Right? They're yearning. They're waiting. They're waiting for their son. Right? Where are they? Because that's what it means here. He says, that's what it means. So every single day, when we daven, we say Esamach David. Right? Hopefully we say the Ani Mamins after davening. And he's still not here, not yet. Right? It's, another 9 days. Right? It's another Tisha B'Av. You know, for the last 24 years, I was the head lifeguard in different camps. My wife always says that it's my fault the Mashiach's not here. Is it because it's always off the 9 days? So my wife always blames me for the Mashiach's not here. Is it because, you know, I always enjoyed being off the 9 days. So, you know, therefore, like, I didn't appreciate it being off. But now, so it's the first summer, 24 summers that I'm not lifeguarding. So maybe this summer will be it. Maybe this will be the chance. We can really appreciate it. But it's important to stop and to think, right, in the broader terms. The Gedolim, again, you know, we think of the Chavetz Chaim, Emre Emes, Shmuel Salant, these are old names, right? Let's make it a little more real. Those of us who are in YU, right, you'll get to see, perhaps you'll get to meet him one time, Rav Moshe David Tendler, Shlita Yishuv and be well. Rav Tendler is the son-in-law of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechus Adav HaKadosh of Racha. Rav Tendler is once said that he was with Rav Moshe, and as Rav Moshe had gotten older, so he needed a pacemaker. He got older. So Rav Moshe went to one cardiologist and he said, you need a pacemaker. And he wasn't happy with that. He went to another cardiologist and he said, again, you need a pacemaker. And he wasn't happy with that. So finally, the family saw that Rav Moshe was very hesitant to get a pacemaker. So they went, they turned to Rav Moshe David Tendler. Rav Tendler, besides being an incredible Talmid Chacham, somebody who's also an expert in biology. And so they said, Rav Moshe David, please, you know, try to get Rav Moshe to accept a pacemaker. So finally, Rav Moshe David went to see his father-in-law, Rav Moshe, and he walks in and he says, Rav Moshe, why are you so hesitant to get a pacemaker? Listen to what Rav Moshe said. He says, I know that when Mashiach comes, that there will be the Koveya Sanhedrin. And Sanhedrin is going to decide if this person, this individual, is the Melech HaMashiach. He says, and I'm nervous that me getting a pacemaker will invalidate me as a Dayan on Sanhedrin. And he could come today. How could I possibly get a pacemaker if he's going to jeopardize pronouncing the Melech HaMashiach today? Rav Moshe lived it. It was real for him. Right? An amazing concept. Right? It was real. Right? But yet, eventually, Rosh David convinced him, it wasn't, but he did eventually get the pacemaker. Right? But incredible. How can we, sitting around here, right, we're not Rav Moshe, we're not the Chavetz Chaim, we're not the Emre Emes, we're not the Rav Shmuel Salant, right? What could we do? How can we begin to think about the following? So how can we begin to think about what we could do to help bring the Malach HaMashiach? So the Gemara Sanhedrin and Tzadi Ches tells us simply, we need to do tshuva. Right, a person needs to do tshuva. Right, and that tshuva is not just stam tshuva, right? What do we do? So the Gemara says, how do we survive the birth pangs of Mashiach? How do we survive the time that God will hopefully that we're in? The Gemara says, we involved in Torah and Chesed. The Tanya of Eliyahu in Yudalad Hey says that the Jews will be redeemed through 10 Jews learning together, by sitting and learning together, and again, and by working ourselves and sitting and learning in a way which purifies ourselves, perfects ourselves, we have to bring the Melech HaMashiach. Right? By sitting and doing, learning together. Kotzke Rebbe once said that people are always screaming, we want to bring Mashiach! He says, why are we screaming to Hashem to bring Mashiach? You're screaming with the people to do tshuva. Right? That's the time. We have to sit, especially during these 9 days, to begin to think about what can we do to do tshuva to bring the Melech HaMashiach. Right, in our tefillos, very simply, right, during Esamach David, again, we're not Rosh Moshe Salant, right, I don't, hopefully during Mar, not everyone's going to turn to the left and to the right, right, but during our tefillah, right, to begin to think about, right, Esamach David, and think about what we do to help bring the Melech HaMashiach. The Tosfos and Brachos on Daf Gimel famously says, right, Yehei Shmei HaGadol, right, when we begin to say Kaddish, when we answer Yehei Shmei Rav Mavarach, begin to think about recognizing that our Kadosh Baruch Hu is in Golos, that the Shechinta beGalusa, that we, our Kadosh Baruch Hu himself is in Golos. We say Yehei Shmei Rabbah. That of itself is a way for us to help to end the Golos. And in Keli, there's an opportunity to do chesed, like perhaps like nowhere else. Right? It's an opportunity to do and to be involved with boys, boys that need help, boys that don't need help as much, an opportunity to do chesed. The Tan Del Yahu likewise says in Chav Gimel that when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, they gathered together and they did chesed. Right? And the Tan Del Yahu says that's what brought the Geula. The Chavetz Chaim says in Zechor and Miriam, he says that where the chesed that the Klai Yisrael did in Mitzrayim was over the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what brought them out. Yerushalmi Sanhedrin tells us that if you see that we're running out of Tzchus Avos, do chesed. Again, simple things. Again, simple, simple things. But what else can we do, perhaps to take it a little step further? So, to mention the Gemara to you in Bar Metzia. The Gemara Bar Metzia on Pehei Mabeis tells the following. There's two incredible stories about Rabbi Chiya and the Gemara that I think are going to be incredible for you to understand. And I'll read the Gemara to you very simply. The Gemara says the following. Ki avihav mitzu Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Chiya, when Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chiya were arguing, Amr le Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chanina, he says, Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi Chanina, this is why I should always be right. I am always right because I made sure that Torah was never forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Why? What did he do? Maya vidna. Azilna v'shadina kisna. He went and he created traps from flax. V'gadilna v'nishvi v'tzavrei v'sadina tavi u'machalidhu b'sraig v'liyasme. He went and he trapped deer and he fed the meat to orphans. V'arichna megilta v'kasavna chamisha chomshe. And he went and he divided up, took the cloth, and he wrote five chumashim. And he went to the city and he taught five children each of these five chumashim. And he went likewise and taught Mishnayos and taught one seder of Mishnayos to six different children. The Amarna Lahu Adahadarna Vasna Akru Adadi Vasanu Adadi. The Avdileu Torah. And because he did such a thing, he made sure that Torah was not forgotten in Klal Yisrael. Again, in and of itself is an amazing concept. Right? Think about the following. Right? He went, imagine the process, right? The weeks and weeks, right, of preparing the coffin, the nets, trapping the deer, v'chule, right? An amazing, amazing concept. Right? He went and he was able to teach Torah in Klal Yisrael. Then there's a more amazing story. The Gemara tells us one another following story, also on the Amud. Eliyahu HaVishkiach B'Masifta de Rebbe. Eliyahu Navi was often found in the yeshiva of Rebbe. Yom Achad, Reish Yarech Lahavo, right? It was Rosh Chodesh. Ganalei V'Losa, Eliyahu Navi was late. He didn't show up to yeshiva. So Amar Lei, my time in Nagaleg, right? You can imagine. He calls in Eliyahu Navi and says, why are you late to yeshiva? Right? Why were you late? Why are you not here? Amr Le, he said to him, Adukim Nel Ha'Avram U'Mashina Yadei U'Matzli U'Maginale. He says, I have to wake up Avram Avinu, wash his hands, the Davin, and put him back to sleep. V'chein L'Yitzlak V'chein L'Yakov. U'lekim Minhu B'Hadei Adadei. So he said to him, why didn't you do it all at the same time? Why couldn't you wash their hands, have them Davin? Right, imagine such a minion, right? Avram Yitzlak and Yakov Davin together. Have them Davin together. What was so bad? He says, you couldn't do that? He says, how come? He says, Savri takfei berachmei, umaisi leil mashiach, belozmane. He says, if they would daven together, their tefillos would be so powerful. They would bring the Shiach before the proper time. So Amr Lehi said to him, v'yesh d'gmason ba'olam hazeh, is there someone in this world who has such similar power that could daven and bring the Melech Mashiach in this world? Amr Lehi, he says, Ika, there is, Rabbi Chiya Ubanov, Rabbi Chiya and his children. So Gazar Rebbe Tanisa, right? So right away Rebbe was Gozer a fast day. Achsine Rebbe Chiya Banav, he brought them to Davin. Omar, when they started Davin, they said Mashiv Aruach v'Nishba Zika. They got to Mashiv Aruach, the wind blew. Omar Marad Hageshem v'Asam Mitra. They said Marad Hageshem, the rain fell. Kimata L'Memar Mechayim Mesim Ragash Alma. The world shook. So Amar Bikiya Man Gali Razi V'Alma. Who revealed such a secret to them? Amri Eliyahu, right? Asiel or Eliyahu did it. So Asiel Eliyahu, right? Mixi Shisin Pulmi Denura. So they gave Rabbi, they gave Eliyahu fiery lashes in Shemayim. So us in Yilhu Kedoba the Nora Benayhu the Tardinu, and therefore so Eliyahu came to them and appeared to them as a fiery lion, and he got them to stop davening. So the Mashiach wouldn't come. Okay? Imagine such a concept. Imagine such a scene. What's the connection? Ask the Marsha there in Bamitzia. What's the connection between these two stories? What's the connection? Right. Why was Rabbi Chiya the model? Right, he's Domeh to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Says the Marsha, the key is in the first story. If somebody comes and approaches their Avodas Hashem so purely, only for the sake of Avodas Hashem, without any selfish concepts, if a person is really ready to not for themselves, right? It's easy to kind of look at our own Avodas Hashem and say, like, what do we gain from it? Right? What do I do? How does it benefit me? Right? And it's important. At this stage of life, it's important to be selfish. It's important to focus on your own growth. And put yourself in a situation that focus on yourself. But, says the Marsha, Rabbi Chiya was kula for all of Klal Yisrael. When a person is totally focused on this, on Torah for all of Klal Yisrael, that's the kind of person that could bring the Malach HaMashiach. That's the kind of growth that we're looking for as a person. For thinking about others. And thinking about not only other people, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod in this world. On a similar vein, a little bit of a tangent question. There's a very famous question that Rabbi Yosef Salomon, Shlita, shall be well, the Mashkiach of Lakewood and BMG, asked in a Sefer Manasai, in the name of the Gra. How come in Rosh Hashanah, right, there's a, almost called a dichotomy, it's a polar opposite of what should be, right? Comes Rosh Hashanah, right? We're judged for everything that we're going to have in this world. And all day long in Rosh Hashanah, we say, Hashem Melech, Hashem is the, right? Hashem is the king. We pronounce the Kadosh Baruch Hu the king. Malchus, the Chorin HaShofros, Hashem is the king. Not one mention of the things that we need in this world. But yet the rest of the year, what do? Hashem, give me money, give me health, give me everything, for everything in this world. We ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for everything in this world. Every tefillah, three times a day. Hashem, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Right? We don't have that. Only except for once a year, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. Shouldn't it be the opposite? Right? Shouldn't every day our tefillos be focused on a Kadosh Baruch Hu being the Melech? And then by the time we get to Rosh Hashanah, we can say, okay, Hashem, I recognize you're the Melech. Hashem, I'd like Parnassah, like Refuah, like a Shidduch. And now I'm ready to ask. But it's opposite. It's counterintuitive. It says Rabbi Yosef Salomon that we have one day a year teaching us what the paradigm of tefillah is. The paradigm of tefillah is not for us. When I daven for parnasa, I daven for health, I daven and I should be successful, it's not for me, for my own personal growth. It's because I want to be recognized for Kadosh Baruch Hu and bring the most kavod shemayim into this world. That's the lofty goal. Again, it's very high. It's a very intense, lofty goal we're trying to accomplish, that we're trying to reach here. Right? That's the goal. Right? The goal is not about us. It's about Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's about the Shechita, the Galusa. It's about Kadosh Baruch Hu's glory and kavod in this world. They say, famous Maisa with Rav Nachum of Chernobyl, that he once was traveling, like all the great rebbes, going from village to village. Once Rav Nachum of Chernobyl came to a village, and like many Gedolim, he got up at Chatzos to say Tikkun Chatzos. It's become a little more in style now. My 16-year-old son came home this week, and he came home and he said, he's Ben Azmanim. He said, Ta, I want to start saying Tikkun Chatzos. I said, Moshe, you go to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, why don't you say Tikkun Chatzos? But okay. So, hold on, your biggest problem. Right, so Nachasho got up to say Tikkun Chatzos. And he's sitting on the floor in his room, and he's davening, he's crying over the Beis HaMikdash, over the Chorban. And all of a sudden, knock at the door, the innkeeper walks, comes in and says, Rabbi, you're keeping the whole inn up. What's going on here? Why are you crying? He says, why are you crying? He says, I'm crying over the Chorban, crying over the Gullus, crying over the Shechita Megalusa. He says, we're crying. He says, how can you not cry? It's Tikkun Chatzos. He says, don't you want Mashiach to come? And the innkeeper looked at him like with this blank stare. He says, I'm not sure. He says, let me go ask my wife. So he goes back to ask his wife, comes back a few minutes later. Yes? He says, Rabbi, My wife said we don't want Mashiach to come because we can't leave our ducks. He says, no one's going to take care of our ducks. So he says, he answers back to me, he says, what do you mean? He says, well, what's going to happen when the Cossacks are eventually going to come to your town? Like you do at every town. And they're going to come, they're going to take your inn, they're going to take your ducks. What do you have here? You have nothing. All you care is your ducks. He says, I don't know. I'm going to go ask my wife. So he goes back into his room, asks his wife a few minutes later. He says, yes. He says, what does your wife say? He says, my wife says, let Mashiach come, take the Cossacks to Israel, and we'll stay with our ducks. Right? So, and I think a lot of people, unfortunately, are happy to do that, right? Happy to focus on what we have here. I think when we daven for Mashiach, people often don't realize that it means leaving our homes, our beautiful homes here, right? In Galus, right? And sometimes, living in a trailer, right? In northern Eretz Israel. But these are the concepts of totally living a life focused on Kavod Shemayim. And one last concept of what could we do to begin to think about how we could prepare ourselves to understand this mitzvah is the Gemara in Sota on Daf Mem Tes. The Gemara in Sota on Daf Mem Tes says that from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, every single day, klolos are marba, they increase more than the previous day. What does that mean? What are these klolos? So there's Ramban and Dvarim. The Ramban and Dvarim in Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Mem Beis, tells us that the klolos that are marba, that increase every single day, are the klolos that are found in Tochacha, in Parshas Kisavo. Rav Moshe Shapiro writes in his Sefer on the Yogyon Yikarim, writes, so the Ramban means to say that every single day there are the klolos that seep into our every day. And I'll read you his language, it's beautiful, and I'll read it and I'll translate it into English, the following. He says, in exile, our lives are antithetical to what they should be in every aspect. Man is not man, friendship is not friendship, truth is not truth, and pleasure is not pleasure. Nothing is the way that it should be. Nothing is the way that it should be. Right? Meaning, again, we don't often appreciate that we are in Gullus now. We don't appreciate who we are. We'll make it a little bit more contrast. Rav Shapiro quotes, this is incredible, from Rav Chaim Vital. And again, I'm not such a bucky in Kabbalah, but Rav Shapiro quotes from Rav Chaim Vital in his introduction to Shari Kedusha. And Rav Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Arizal, writes in his introduction to Shari Kedusha that in his day he was witnessing individuals that were not successfully achieving Ruach HaKodesh. That was their challenge. They were almost there. They had gone through all of Mesilas Hasharim, and they did not yet able to mekabel fully Ruach HaKodesh. So he wrote his Sefer to help them get over the hurdle and achieve Ruach HaKodesh. Now, let that seep in for a moment. Right? If we would see that in a Sefer, and any Sefer that on this wall, if you saw such a thing, that someone wrote such a concept, that he wrote his Sefer, right? If Rami Leibowitz, his next Sefer, wrote it in Hakdamba, I'm writing this Sefer to help people achieve Ruach HaKodesh, so it would, right, we would laugh that person out of the building. It's such a concept that we can't even begin to be masik, to relate to. But yet, says Moshe Shapiro, we have to cry that we can't even be masik to such a concept. Like, it's so hard for us to be able to realize that there are people who could achieve and could recognize and can connect to Ruach HaKodesh. Right? The last aspect of what we how we can begin to think about and connect to the Mashiach and what we're supposed to gain out of this is to perhaps mourn for ourselves. And to mourn and have an avelus for our own personal growth that we're not fully there yet. And we'll end with this. They say that Rosh Shlomo Feifeld, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of Shar Yashav, if you haven't yet read the biography, highly recommend it. Rav Freifeld was once in his office and a new Talmud came into yeshiva. As he was there, he walks into Rav Freifeld's office and Rav Freifeld had all different gedolim, different stripes, different generations, pictures of them all over his wall. And the Talmud says to Rav Freifeld, wow, Rabbi, he says, who are all these people on your wall? He says, like, are they like a Hall of Fame of the yeshiva? Like, who are these people? And Rav Freifeld said, these individuals, these people, are a long-lost concept, or a long-lost idea. He says, they're of a concept called Adam, of Adam. He says, and we lose that. He says, we recognize people. He says, but this is Adam. He says, this is what an Adam should be, an Adam could be. says, look at this wall. He says, and this is who we can be. So we begin to think about what we want out of Mashiach. What do we? How can we connect to it? How can we relate to it? So we have to, again, think about our own personal growth, the growth of Klal Yisrael, the growth of the world. And then to begin to think about that nothing is the way that it should be, right? And that's what we're in Gullus for, and to recognize, and to perhaps mourn. And it's sometimes hard to cry on Tisha B'Av. Right? We're sitting in shul, we're sitting on the floor, right? And we can listen to keynotes, and they're moving, and they're, you know, and it pushes us. It's sometimes hard to cry about things that happened so long ago. But we try to make it personal, right? You think of the moments that are hard. Think of the challenging moments that we had in our lives for this year. Right? Think of any loss that you had, that you were connected to. Right? Think about that personal loss that held you back from growing the way that you could, whether that was something that happened to Klal Yisrael and in Eretz Yisrael and all the sorrows that happened in this world. All of that is connected to the Gullus. It's all connected to the fact that we don't have Mashiach today, and the world is not the way it is supposed to be. Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we can begin to connect to that, we could dive in for it, and we're all going to push ourselves this year in particular, for the, over the next week, that Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, that we won't have Tisha B'Av the way that it's been a day of Bechi, day of Avelos. Rather, it should be the Tisha B'Av the way it's supposed to be. It should be a Moed, a Yontif, a day to celebrate the coming of the Melech HaMashiach. Any questions? Happy to answer any questions.